Lisa is absent today, and at this point we'll call the meeting to order and open for public comment. So any members of the audience wishing to step forward and speak, please state your name at the microphone, and you may step forward now.
Good morning. I'm Josh Updig, Golf Course Superintendent for San Luis Obispo County Parks and Golf. I came today to talk about the benefit that Morro Bay Golf Course could potentially have to the community of Morro Bay. California's golf economy is a $15.1 billion industry, and impacts on state revenue economy. 926 golf courses in the state, and $4.8 billion in income from full-time employees, which gives 160,000 jobs and full-time employees only. That information is coming from a 2006 survey that was done, a business and economic survey. Golf also gives back to the community in the tone of $3.5 billion raised for charities in 2005 as a nation. For golf means for our county, there's roughly about $25 million industry here in just our county alone from golf operations. That includes other businesses that are tied to golf, whether they sell golf retail, do video series for golf courses. There's a number of places here in our community that deal with golf, not just the golf courses. The recreational opportunities that are provided to 30,000 residents of our community, which is based upon national averages, about roughly 11 to 12% of the population plays golf. And a significant source of that is people over 55 years of age. And the older the community gets, oftentimes golf does serve a lot of the only recreational opportunities from some of our older patrons that play golf. If an individual walks 18 holes of golf, they burn 2,700 calories. It takes 3,500 calories to burn a pound of fat. So if a person plays 3 to 4 times a week walking, that's not carrying a golf bag, that's just walking on the golf course, you know, they can burn up to 3 pounds of fat a week. It does instill values of sportsmanship, respect, and integrity within the patrons, as that is what golf is about. It's one of the only sports where people are responsible for calling their own fouls and penalties against themselves and upholding themselves against the rules and games of golf at their own discretion. As far as Morro Bay Golf Course, it provides attraction for tourism. It's important for retail and hotel restaurants, bringing people to the community. It's also a cultural resource that has not really been realized very often. That Black Hill is actually where the golf course is situated on State Park's property, is actually a Chumash burial ground. Anytime we have to do any kind of work on that golf facility, we need to go to State Parks and say we need an archaeologist to come out and make sure that we're not disturbing any burial grounds. If that does happen, then we have to bring a shaman in and have him retire the artifacts or remnants back to the Chumash society. It is environmental habitat, which has not been utilized, and I'll discuss that in a little bit here. And I believe it's also a potential golf destination, the city and community of Morro Bay. There's another community up in Bandon Dunes, Oregon, which is another fishing town that kind of went defunct, and their fishing community dried up. It went from a population of about, I believe the numbers are 1,500 people in that community, to well over 10,000 people now, and it is a golf destination. There's people from all over the world that fly into that facility. A regional airport has been created for that community only, and there's 8 golf courses now available.
There we go. I think we're limited on time on public comment, so I think what we may want to do is have you back as a guest speaker so that we can hear more from you about how we can help partner with you for, mm-hmm. because I think that's what the golf course is seeking here, is a partnership for tourism. Is that is that the direction we're going in?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know that you have some ideas about how to develop the Monarch Butterfly Grove as a tourism destination and those other things, and we'd love to hear that. So we have our next regularly scheduled meeting would be in March. Would you be available if I contacted you via email to get you on the agenda for March to speak with us about some tourism opportunities?
Sure. Is that the first Thursday in March, or would that be March 1st?
It's the second Thursday of
second
March.
Second Thursday?
That's,
okay.
What's the date on it?
Be the 8th?
I think it might be the 8th, yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Since the ultimate reason is for partnering with T-Bid, is he going to be filling out one of these so that he can be put on the agenda and have the time that he needs so that we know what he's talking about than just a review of program?
I'm not sure if he's requesting funding or what. I'll tell you what, we can, via email, drill down on exactly what he might be looking for. I'm not sure if there's a request for funding there or if there's just a request for partnership on events that they're holding.
Oh.
So we'll have to figure out what the needs are for the golf course, because it is kind of an untapped thing. All of us, I think, probably talked about that at one point or the other. Underutilized, that's the word we're looking for. And what is the date? Did you find out?
It is March 8th at 9 a.m. Yeah, that is our next meeting.
Yeah, I think I should be available. I'd have to check my schedule and definitely get back.
Okay. Well, let's touch base between Michelle and me and you. We'll get an email loop going to get you back on an agenda about how we can develop a partnership to help when we promote, to help promote the golf course. And actually, we're running an ad in Sunset Magazine that talks about our golfing that's coming up. So that's something that hopefully will help.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I'll contact you via email, and we'll get moving on getting you forward and working
okay.
with you more closely.
May I make a suggestion that maybe Sherry, since we, the creative committee, approved the ad for Sunset, why don't we email him a copy? Because then you can see how we are in a money with a fabulous print ad supporting the golf course here. So it'd be nice for you to see.
Fantastic, yeah.
Okay.
That'd be great.
You might even be showing it in this meeting today.
Yeah, the Sunset ad is not in my marketing report, but we just did one in LA Times that has a golf reference in it as well. So,
good.
Yeah, it's definitely getting some exposure.
Yeah, if you ever need photos or anything like that, let me know.
Okay, great. Yeah, definitely.
Let's connect you two via email to get that going. But meanwhile, we'll get you back in here in March, okay?
Sure. But yeah, I'm not looking necessarily for funds, but just we're trying to develop a relationship with state parks.
Love that.
And trying to help with the political side of that, of moving that forward to help get our monarch butterfly population, which is getting close to rivaling Pismo's, and how it can drive traffic to this area.
Yeah. Awesome.
So,
well, thank you, Josh.
Thanks for your time.
We look forward to talking to you about that.
Have a great day.
All right, thanks. You too. Enjoy the weather. Go golfing. Okay.
Can we move him up?
Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. Nancy Castle, AGP Video. A couple of comments were made at your special meeting that I'd like to address. First was that AGP had to shoot... do productions in city buildings. To go live, yes, we have to be in a city building, but we can actually do a video production anywhere, including out at the golf course, because we have a generator, and we can, you know, any sort of situation that is... would be well suited for video production, we can be there. We'll make whatever adaption is needed. Even a small room, we can come in with a single camera if you're having small meetings. Then there was discussion about the Brown Act and potentially an organization in town being set up so that it wouldn't trigger Brown Act requirements. And while I think that anything that uses city monies the way this potentially is going to do or have a city representative on it falls under the Brown Act, there is also the spirit of the Brown Act. And, you know, our company, AGP Video, started here in Morro Bay, and we wanted to be the eyes and ears of the community so that people would know what's going on. And we started with the council meetings and almost immediately picked up San Luis Coastal Unified School District. And people ask us, why did we do that? And we pointed out that the school district actually had a larger budget than the city of Morro Bay. And so the need for the community to follow the money is very, very important. And I have heard comments on your board about the challenge of getting out to your constituents, the other hoteliers, what it is the committee is doing. If you eliminate the opportunity to have the meetings videotaped, you're reducing people's ability to see things and hear things even more. The other thing is, if you guys as a committee need copies of the DVD so that your constituents can borrow them from you, talk to us, because we would make a stack of DVDs for you after the meeting that you could have to pass out to people, because that's what AGP is about. Giving the community, whatever the community is, an opportunity to watch government processes at their convenience. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Nancy. Great comments. Thank you. Okay, and we will close for public comments, and we will move to board announcements. And before we have board announcements, we do have a new member here, Alex Meany from the Breakers Hotel. And so I'd like Alex, if you're so inclined, to introduce yourself and tell everyone about you.
Okay, my name is Alex Meany. I've been in the business in motel in Morro Bay for over 10 years. I own a number of hotels here in Pass, and at this time I only have one. But I used to have five hotels in town. So I decided to join the group, and hopefully I can contribute to overall improvement.
Thanks, Alex. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you.
Thanks.
And so other announcements. I was asked to make one announcement about Harbor Festival. They have a fully seated board. The festival is going to go off this weekend. I bet they're glad that's not true. This year, the festival is going to go off this year as planned, and they do have their slogan picked, and it is Anchored in Tradition. So that is what they have chose as their theme for this year, Anchored in Tradition, hence the fishing theme, anchoring everything in the fishing tradition. So very exciting, and they have a new executive director who is a really strong events individual. He's actually written a book on how to put a good, strong, fun event on, community events on, and he's very well qualified, and they are looking forward to working with him and bringing Harbor Festival back up to being the top feather in Morro Bay's cap. So looking forward to it. And that's the only other announcement that I have. So we'll look to approval of minutes now for the January 2012 meeting. And those minutes were attached. Did everybody have an opportunity to look those over? I did. Were there any changes that anybody wanted to note? No changes. Looking for a motion to accept for file.
I'll make a motion that we accept the January 12th minutes.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? None. Okay. Motion for minutes carries. And right now, we would normally move to five unfinished business, but I see Sean Farmer sitting in the audience, and he is listed as D under new business. To be nice to our guest, since he has to open the Farmer's Kites and Surreys today, I'd ask for a courtesy motion to maybe move him to the top of the agenda. Is there anybody that would be willing to make that?
I'll make a motion to move under new business item D, the presentation from Morro Bay Kite Festival, up to, I guess, unfinished business A, to the very beginning.
To right now.
To now.
Above unfinished business.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. So with that, we have Sean Farmer from the Morro Bay Kite Festival.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on here? Okay.
You are on.
First of all, thank you for moving me to D to A. I appreciate that. So I'm here this morning to ask for your help in promoting the Kite Festival. The Kite Festival, if you know, started as a two-day event, and then it went to one day for 3 years, and then last year we went back to 2 days. This year I've already had people calling because on the Chamber website it was listed as a one-day event. So I would like to make the event annual a two-day event and have your help and any hoteliers in the city to promote the Kite Festival for a two-day event, because a lot of people that come from out of state to fly kites don't want to come and stay one night and leave the next day. So what I'm asking for is help promoting, maybe some hoteliers to donate some rooms. would really be helpful. The chamber's trying, but they're going through some things, as we all know. So I just need all the help I can get to keep the Kite Festival here in Morro Bay, which I think promotes a great outdoor event, which Morro Bay is about. So please help.
So, Sean, when you're talking about people coming from out of town to fly kites, you're not talking about guests. Well, everyone is a guest, but you're not talking about – you're talking about the kite professionals?
That's correct.
That you're trying to book?
That's
okay.
Correct. Last year we had the lady that dressed us up as Dr. Seuss in the parade, and she dances with the kids down the beach. She comes from Washington State, and we pay for her flight every year in her hotel. That's everybody that calls or comments about the Kite Festival talks about Penny. So I think it's very important that we keep her coming. She's a great thing in the parade. She flies a kite and dances up, dresses up as Dr. Seuss or as a butterfly. She's just well worth, and all we have to do is pay her flight in a motel room. So.
Okay, and you are looking for then how many comped rooms? And are you looking for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Friday, Saturday?
I'm looking for a Friday, Saturday for most of the flyers that are here in state, but maybe like for Penny a Sunday night so she wouldn't have to rush to the airport and get home. So we're looking for approximately 10 rooms that are double occupancy with two beds.
What date is that then?
It would be the last weekend in April, which I believe is the 28th and 29th.
I'll give you a room.
Thank you. So we only need 9.
Anyone else?
Yeah, we can do a room.
8.
Take that down to 7.
Okay. So I knew coming here would help. And like I said, any of the hoteliers that see in town, and they have to know that when the Kite Festival came, I'm sure all of you saw an influx. And I honestly believe that this festival could grow to be even longer. In Long Beach, Washington, it goes for a week in the rain. The flyers are up there in the rain. And I'm the one that started the festival.
But they help you, right?
They help, and they are.
Okay,
they,
good.
Yes, they do help.
Okay, so with that said, you know, also they have the ability to e-blast for you, and if you could tell them what your needs are, we will, all the hoteliers will get an e-blast, and as long as the T-bid supports it, then maybe all the hoteliers, you'll be able to.
That would be really nice. That's what I'm looking for.
So, yeah, so the point is not just us, it's the whole, you know, community of hoteliers. So have Craig just send out a list. This is what I need by a certain date, and then we can all respond.
I'll do it.
I have a question. How are you promoting your, you know, your plan? I mean, most of the hotels don't even know there's such a date.
Yeah, it's all been done through the chamber, I have to say, in the past. And I think the problem with the chamber is on the website, they don't have control. So, like there again, last year it was promoted as one day till about 2 weeks before when it should have been 2 days. So I just don't think that the website, and there again, I think that Craig should be emailing you guys now and letting you know there's a kite festival in April, personally.
It is on the calendar of events, and we have switched the back end of the website over, so it's a little bit easier to use this year. And we're in the process of completely redoing the website and moving to a completely new website. All that said, you know, Craig will have a set of keys to the kingdom, and his life will be much easier here once we get switched over. So, in defense of the chamber and that notion, they have had some struggles with the backside of the website. Used to be kind of like a house of cards. That's all history, though. Whatever. But to get out an e-blast, Sherry is certainly she's done e-blast to the hotels before, so. And we could go out to the hotels. We have that list of emails for each hotel that we use and get a list of what you need. I mean, we're down to needing 7 rooms now for, you know, the weekend, and I think out of 919 rooms, we can certainly come up with 7 more. Definitely that and anything else you need so that, you know, we might be able to network that out for you. Somebody might know somebody, and, you know, it starts with a little narrow path and it fans out and becomes a giant giant feather, and we can all try and help support this event, because it is a great springtime event in a shoulder month on a weekend that we don't have anything else, and people love it. We definitely need to support it. Sherry?
I have a quick comment. We are actually releasing a press release today that actually is going nationwide, but really specifically on the Kite Festival, the two-day event. And we have an ad going out in 80. This is through the CPC board. They're doing an ad in 805 Living that has a snipe across it about the Kite Festival. And it is on the website. So 805 Living is also doing a feature on it in March. So we've got some good, you know, groundwork working towards that, and I'm hoping that it'll elevate it. So.
Can I make a comment? This is the second instance where we had somebody from the Gulf, and now we have somebody doing a kite festival. And here we are promoting this stuff through the city, and they don't know anything about it. This means that there's a communication issue in the entire community. Okay, as one. We need to address that and seal the edges. Okay, so let's put that, because if Sean knew about that, he'd be thrilled.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'd like to say, I understand about the Chamber's website. I'm not picking on Craig. I understand that it took two or three people to get things changed. So I think the Chamber has been very helpful in the Kite Festival. So I don't want anybody to think that I was picking on the Chamber. I understand what was going on.
I have a question, too. Are flyers or posters available at all yet? Do you know?
Not yet, but we will be working the Chamber, and that's something I'd like to get them out as quick as possible also.
Yeah, so. I think one thing I see with events is that the flyers come out like a week or two before, and it's as a hotelier, there's so many people that come through our lobbies and our elevators and all of these things. It's nice. I've went actually, and that's what's just, I go off the website and have printed a calendar of events for the year, and I have it posted in a few areas, because people will come in January and be like, oh, I want to come back in a couple of months. What's going on? That's just something to think about, too. It's, I feel as a hotelier, sometimes when we get the posters, it's kind of late, because it's, I mean, it'll help with the people that are already here, but it's not gaining new people.
Right, right.
So that's just something with, to...
Just a couple of thoughts. One is, you know, Sean has been a big supporter of us in the past, so I think we need to step up and show a little support back to him. Secondly, I believe it or not, between meetings and requests, maybe there might be some in-kind advertising put out there that Sherry could take care of for us at, you know, the National Association of Kite Flyers or whoever it is. But
Just so you know, I put the Kite Festival in on the American Kite Flyers Association website every year, and they also put it in the Kiting Magazine. So Kiting Magazine comes out, I believe, every 3 months, and it lists the events in each state for that month. So it's listed in the American Kite Flyers Association website and in the Kiting Magazine. It's just a free thing that I fill out, but I do put it in there.
See, and I'd be curious to know what it would cost to maybe do an ad and something like that. I really think, and I'm along with you, and I just said this, we had a meeting recently. I said, I feel like we need to do more niche advertising, specific for what events we have. You know, I feel like we're doing some of this broad stuff, and maybe we're not really catching as many people in the barrel as we could if we did some niche marketing, if we actually went after the marathons, the kite festivals, yeah, the outdoors, the bay things. I think that's something we need to address and look at for future, because I feel like we should do more of these niche things. You know, maybe we put an ad in a magazine that's right before, the, you know, a couple months before the festival. We might get a lot more bang for our buck than doing, you know, spending a huge amount of money on some big ad that we don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's just a thought.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm thinking maybe we pay to have somebody out film parts of this thing this time, and we launch it on YouTube next March to start generating interest in the, you know, maybe that's an idea. I don't know. Maybe it's a dumb idea. It's probably a dumb one, because it's...
And I bet you we could... There's probably film from last year.
Oh, yes.
That we could put YouTube now, you know?
So let's make some steps here so that we can draw back in, because it looks like we have some strong ideas here. And we can get some folks to work with Sean. So our steps are, Sean, shoot a list. I'll do a connection for you and Sherry via email. Okay. shoot a list to us if you can today, if not tomorrow, like say within the next 24 to 48 hours, of what your needs are, rooms-wise, and what your overall broad needs are so we can help you reach out into the community for those needs. In addition, Sherry will look at any advertising that's being placed this month by April for a help for push for to get the word out for the Kite Festival. And then what we'll do is maybe have look and see if we have any social media budget left and maybe send somebody out to do some filming so that we can use that out of the social media budget for YouTube and for the website later on for the following year and for years to come.
I have one other thing, too. I know in the past you guys did a school day, and that didn't happen. Can you just fill me in real quick on that? Is that...
That was a big expense and something I really enjoyed, but that was really expensive, and the chamber funded that, and it just wasn't in the budget last year, so we didn't do it. But I'd like to see that done again. It was a lot of fun to go fly kites with the kids.
Yeah, I just remember that, and I was curious what happened, so okay.
So the kites for that were like $2 each, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, the kites for that were like $2 each. And the first year, I think the Kite Festival bought them. The second year, it was a split between the Kite Festival and the PTAs. And then I think somehow that has, went away. Yeah, because when you have 500 kids, you know, so it's expensive for both sides if there was a way we could figure out to, but that's for future. So that's for future, and then if you want, a funding request is coming up for 2013 events, and that's something you might want to think about because that request would be due for, it would be due on February 28th, but that's something we can talk about via email too. So let's get you to contact us within the next 24 to 48 of what your needs are. We'll move forward. You've already got three rooms here. We're down to needing seven. So we'll move forward with that. And then I know the VCB has been contacted to see if they could help with the plane ticket too.
That's great. One other thing I'd like to say is anybody that'd like to help with the Kite Festival, call me or come by the kite shop. I'd love your help.
Okay, call you at the kite shop, and the kite shop is Farmers Kites and Surreys, and the number is
772-0113.
Got it. Okay, thanks, Sean, so much.
Thanks again for moving me from the bottom to the top. You all have a great day.
You're welcome. All right, have a great day. Okay, so now we will move back to the top of the agenda, which is we are on A, unfinished business, and this is the discussion of the mid-year budget review. And so Michelle and Karen and I met with Sherry about a month and a half ago, and then we decided to just get all of the line item bills amount to roughly, you know, $9,000. It's not a huge number in the overall scheme of things, but you know, it's a healthy number. So we're just going to go back and take a look at all that and see what we can do and bring back a secondary report to you. So that's where we're at on that. And now this is the new budget of where we are year to date. And so, Sherry, do you want to go over this a little bit if there's any questions from anyone about where we're at with BCA?
Sure. Happy to take any questions. We do have, you know, the budget that we set, and then the last column is actually what we've spent so far. We're in very good shape. We have some great things coming up in the next few months, and we have the flexibility and the fluid movement of this budget to be able to take advantage of some things that pop up here and there. And we've decided to go into sunset. That's the very top line item, with a print ad during the same issue that the beach tractors one block party competition. They're doing a feature in Sunset about that competition, and so Morro Bay is going to be in that feature, and then we're following it up with a pretty nice size ad in Sunset with a reference to the beach tractors and that competition. So we feel like it's a really good comprehensive way to capture and elevate Morro Bay. And otherwise, things are just going really well as far as the marketing. We feel like we have a really good foundation of creative. We've basically done the creative work for this fiscal year. And so, you know, we're at a point where now we can, you know, keep implementing, keep getting it out there. And the public relations, we're going very strong on that. That was something that started happening in January. We did a lot, you know, during the fall, but we're really full force with a team at BCA handling your PR. So, I think I just feel like the budget is healthy. It's been great getting together with the budget subcommittee and getting those questions answered. And I think getting a meeting together with all of us is going to help going forward, too, because we're going to have to start talking about the next 2012-2013 year. So we want to be all on the same page.
I just have a question about the report. It's not about any expenditures. We have yellow and not yellow. We have totals and actual. So to me, for instance, just so that I read this correctly, so in your first line was sunset, half page, what you're saying is we've budgeted $13,000 to pay for that, and it will be spent in April. And it hasn't been spent, therefore that's why it's white. Okay. So the totals on this column is the original budget. The actual is where we have allotted the funds, but we don't have a column that says spent to date and remaining. Right?
Right.
Thank you. That's
exactly
what
right.
I've been wanting.
Okay.
So when we do that, can we please add those two columns?
For my so the actual isn't what we've spent?
No, the actual is the revised distribution of the funds. Okay? But it's or what hasn't been spent yet. I really don't understand that column.
Some of it is contracted work. You'll see that, say we had a contract with Sunset for $50,000. But so far we've only spent $27,000 of that. But we are committed to spend $50,000. And this is totally hypothetical because we're not. But that's basically what it is. I mean, if you go to, say, down at fixed expenses, that billboard, we had originally said we were going to spend $15,000 on the billboard. Well, we stopped using the billboard. We took the billboard down, and so our actual expenditure on that is $7,600.
Actual is what we've spent.
The actual is what we've spent.
No, yeah. It's not what we've spent. That's what I'm confused. We have a total budget of $485,760.96. The column next to that, which totals $281,543.93, is that what is remaining to be spent? What is that?
That's what we've already spent.
So
that's what
so,
we've spent and committed.
Okay, so then getting back to the first column, if we've already spent, is it what is committed to be spent?
The totals column, the first
no,
column?
No, the actual is yeah. committed to be spent.
It is either spent
whether it's yellow or not.
Yeah, the yellow is just because we didn't have a total versus a budget versus
okay.
actual budget to start with, so we started highlighting things that were actually happening so that you could see that. Once we get into a budget versus actual,
okay.
maybe we can...
Retainer. It was budgeted at $58,800. That's under total. And since we're 6 months through the year, we've spent $29,400, right? As opposed to the county VC co-op, $36,000 is already spent. It's out the door.
The $29,000 is out the door. But that doesn't mean, but this is where 36. The question was, is are we committed to pay $58,800 or no? If we're committed, then why isn't that column 58,000?
Well, that's where I was coming to.
Exactly. It just it doesn't make sense.
We don't have it available to spend. We've already
right. That's why I'm a little confused with this the way this is set up.
Because technically, we're on a 30-day contract. If we wanted to fire them tomorrow, we're not committed. So that's why it's not under actual.
That is why we have to put that in committed.
I mean, not I'm just saying hypothetical, not yeah, please. Yeah. But, I mean, that's what the difference is.
It makes sense. That
yeah.
is exactly right. Therefore, we've got to change that title, meaning spent or whatever, and then it's not actual. It's a weird
billing is really what it's based on. It's we've only billed you through December of 2011. We haven't billed you for January yet, so we haven't billed you for that retainer. We haven't, you know, and if you looked at what you've actually spent, that's how we've done it. But it's easy to make those extra, you know,
bars
and,
well,
and columns.
I think to make it simple, is objective is to know if we have extra money left, what to do with it or how much it is. You know, that's really what it is. However you guys do it, it's fine as long as we can see it.
Right.
And just to let, again, on the retainer, just so I understand it, is the retainer something that we just pay to retain you for your services, or is it something that as you do work, you bill against the retainer?
It's actually, retainer is a bad word for it, but we've used it in the industry for so long, and we keep trying to change it. It's basically a flat fee, and it's written out in the contract, everything that comes under that retainer. So it's basically everything that I do for you, everything that Dave Cox does for you. Just it's account services, basically.
Yeah, and it's your time here.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Can we accept the budget for file and the budget report? Any other questions for Sherry or for the budget committee? No. Okay. So a motion to accept the budget for file.
Do we need to do that?
Do we need to do that?
No.
Or the report? We're good. Okay. So that is the finance. No, that. Where are we? That's a discussion of the mid-year budget. Thank you. Which will come back again. Yeah, we're going to. This will end up being a future agenda item after we meet with everyone as a group to discuss that approximate $9,000.
Just question here. How often we go over the budget? Is it
every month? Quarter,
every month?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that, right. Okay.
Okay. And so now we will move on to financial review of the Visitor Center. And Craig is not here this month. He is at the Western Chamber Directors Conference in Las Vegas. And so I would ask that with him not being here, and we may, I'm assuming, questions are going to come up for him to answer, and since he's not here to answer, I would ask that maybe we move this out to March, if that's okay with everyone. Okay. Then we're going to move into, excuse me, we're going to move into monthly reports, and that is number 6. Monthly reports, we'll start with A, the trade show subcommittee. Trade show subcommittee has a few things for you because we are doing the stakeholders meeting, the annual stakeholders report and meeting at the Inn at Morro Bay. First, I would ask you to take a look at that save the date flyer. If that was okay with everyone, then I will get that sent out to the hoteliers on Friday, either today or Friday, and I can pass that around for. I printed it and put it out, and I even corrected my error of Michelle's misspelling on her name. So if you could take a look at that, so that's one thing. And the other one is the possible questions for the stakeholder survey. Each year we do a survey to kind of gauge satisfaction, to gauge where stakeholders want us to go with our marketing direction. And I sent that to you in the body of an email, hoping that you took a look at it. If not, I have one copy printed here that I could share with you. In addition to that, at the very bottom is possible information for the packets I'd like us to discuss. So the possible questions for the stakeholder survey was...
Joan?
Yeah.
On your flyer?
Yep.
I think this is... Isn't this our third stakeholders meeting?
No.
We've only had one?
We only had one.
Okay. I can't remember. Josh brought up about the Chumash Indians. Does she have to get the blessing of the Chumash Indians in order to have that festival?
I think he was talking specifically about construction.
Oh, okay.
When you disturb land. Unless she's going to be digging.
Yeah, she does know that that element exists out there, though. She's discussed it with me, and you're right, culturally, you know, she's discussed it and thinks that it's very significant and might be able to work a way for that to be in there. She's moving forward with all the permits she needs. She's got sponsors that are coming on, and she's very, very excited. And next Wednesday is the first meeting to make it zero waste. And so she's moving forward. That's the progress on that. And the date was June 16th, I believe.
June 16th. I have a question. What is this under trade show?
It's under trade show because we don't have an events line. So next is the website subcommittee report, and I believe that Sherry is going to cover the website in her reports. So we might want to just skip this because she's going to go over where we're at then, if that's okay with everyone. Hotel packaging subcommittee, anyone off that? Did you meet?
We have no report. Everything's out.
Well, did anything go out?
We the blast went out for the February deals. We discussed the letter and the year-long. We had a very, very poor response to the request for specials for February. It troubles me because that's one of the things that happened with the letter. We were concerned that we weren't going to get any response to the letter and to the annual review. Now we're building a new website and we need pictures. We're going to need photos. We can put 6 or 7 photos of each hotel on each of their individual pages. And I don't know if I'm going to get any. I will. Okay.
That well, you'll get.
Okay.
Also, just to let you know, I think that the campaign that you did for the February Romancing the Stone drove business. I know that we got calls from the website, and I haven't had that many calls. And so if you put it out there, you know, we have to get you everything by the 10th of the month for March. And just keep it going, because when we have the meeting at the end of March, we can report that. And they can't say they didn't know anything, because there it is. So I wouldn't worry about it. You know, TripAdvisor or any of them, it's our obligation to put our pictures on.
Yep.
I just was going to say that I think the, you know, the write-up we did on the whole packaging program never went out. And the reason for that was the feeling was nobody would open their emails. The response to the request for February packages was so weak that the feeling was that if a 2-page email went out, it would get trash canned real quick.
Actually, that's a perfect thing for us to put on the agenda for the March meeting and let John go through it and let's do a presentation. This is what we're doing. If you want to participate, blah, blah, blah. Then they can have it in writing and you don't need to, they don't have to open up an email blast.
It's on the list of items for the packet. Okay.
Well, I have a comment on this. I think you need to send it every month, and even they don't open, that's their problem. Because all the other sites we sign up to, it's basically requested, and then we have to add it ourselves. So if you're not going to take the time to do that, that's our problem.
Yeah, it's incumbent upon us as hoteliers.
Yeah, but we definitely do it. We've never not done it. So it's just, you know, it would be great if it was exactly.
Just looking at the list of addresses for the email, and I'm making this one up, but it's like, attention, you know, reservations at Motel X. And I'm not sure if it's whoever is reservations at Motel X really is going to care about a packaging plan. You know, I'm not sure if we're hitting the right person,
the right people
at that property to say, hey, this is what your T-bit is doing for you. Do you want to participate?
I think maybe in our stakeholders meeting we could set up like a form, a contact form or something like that to include in the packet.
Right. At the last stakeholders meeting, as they signed in at the desk, they signed in with their personal mobile device and also signed in with their personal email address, and that's what those email addresses are. The email addresses that the owners and managers have requested the information go to. That's what that email address list is. We did that when we first pulled the TBID together. We did that again at this last meeting, and we'll do it again so that we can clean the list because, you know, we need to do that annually, and that's what we've done, and we'll definitely do that again.
Well, you know, we have a website subcommittee, and
she gets to her report. Public relations did not meet. Visitor and Conference Bureau, County Business Improvement District report. I have a couple of things for you as a budget subcommittee. We met with the VCB this past month. They wanted to discuss their request for funding, and they are actually going to be on next month's agenda with their request for funding and their SAVER package proposal. So next month is going to be the VCB and SAVER. So you will see those on there. In addition, I was contacted via email by the CTTC. Yay! And they actually want to come to one of our meetings. So I gave them the schedule of our upcoming meetings just 2 days ago. And they are going to see when they can juggle, because they would like to come to every TBID meeting in our county, and they're going to try and get down here and make the rounds within the next couple of months to see how they can better partner with us for Visit California, which I think is outstanding. So I will get Sherry into that loop and Andrea so that we can get them on the agenda and get them scheduled to get in here and get with us. So that was exciting. And then, and I'm sure Sherry will be passing this, but they had received like 24 of these or a dozen of these, and this is the VCB, the new San Luis Obispo County Visitors Guide that is coming out this month. And because we met with them first, we got a sneak copy, and so here's the table of contents, and here's our beautiful ad that we did, so I'll pass that for the board to see. And it's a good one. So there was that. And in addition, under co-op with the county CBIDs, I was connected with somebody through Neil Maloney of Morro Bay Oyster Company, a gentleman named Cameron Tucker, who was the he did all the filming for Huelhauser's California Gold. And Huelhauser retired, and he has started his own production company and wants to do a Golden Coast of California. And he actually, last month, shot his pilot in Morro Bay because he has friends that live in Los Osos. And he's been coming to Los Osos for a long, long time. And so he shot the Elfin Forest and shot in the waters in the Back Bay. He went out with the Central Coast Outdoors and did an excursion with them out to the oyster farm and shot, and that's his pilot program. And he has plans to shoot 13 to 15 more programs in the county, just of our county, and would like to figure out a way to obviously he's looking for funding, but he's pitching it to PBS. And he's using that show to pitch it to PBS, and he's going to be up here next week sometime between Thursday and Sunday and would like to meet. And if anybody else would like to jump into that meeting, I could try and get, you know, somebody in there. Good. And then he wants to meet with all the different CBIDs and see how we can work on a collaboration to do these 13 to 15 shows just on our Central Coast.
Is he meeting with the CBID?
Not yet. He wants us to connect them to their marketing agents and stuff. And I know he's been in contact with Craig. He mentioned to me that he had been in contact with Craig at the Chamber, and so they were trying to figure out if there was some way. But right now, he's already got one shot, and it features Morro Bay, and I guess I don't know if he pulled filming permits. I have no idea. That would be for the city to look at. I know that's probably an issue, the city and the county. But he did say that he shot some footage from the water of the Embarcadero and that it was an outstandingly beautiful day. So of course, it's Morro Bay. That's right, it's of course. So good. Sherry, I will keep you in the loop as to when he emails me. And anybody else want to join us?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
You two can arm wrestle for it and let me know after the meeting. Okay, so so that we can get this moving forward as a co-op with the county, too. So that was great news. Yes, go ahead.
ad about the VCB. They have a workshop this afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big brand. This has been a sequence of things. Some of you have attended the workshops, the one that we did last December. And now they've brought in a couple of branding specialists. It's basically branding for the county. So BCA, a couple of us are going from BCA to participate in the workshops to represent Morro Bay.
With film commissions and all that different kind of stuff. So I can send that to you via email. And I can ask to them to just put all of us on the email list so that they're shooting it to us directly. Okay, I will do that. Let's see here. We are to the Visitor Center report, and Craig is not here, but the Visitor Center report was sent to us electronically. Are there any questions on that? I'm sorry? Yeah, I think, without Craig here, it's... So we'll just have to go over the 2 monthly reports next month, if that's okay. Review of transient occupancy tax, and this is the month that we have our special drill down, our quarterly drill down by Member Myers, and TOT reports came out, and TOT... or rather occupancy, I mean, that was great. I don't know what you all thought, but I thought that that was a great pickup in occupancy going from last year, which was, December was 33%, and we pushed to 38% occupancy this past December. A lot of it probably had to do with our fabulous weather that we had versus the rainy weather that we had the year before. And it was all of our marketing, of course. Our fabulous marketing push, but you know, marketing and weather combined, it's a deadly mix. People come on in. So, because our marketing reflects beautiful weather, and so here we go. But I'll turn it over to Member Myers for his report, and he sent it to us electronically. So, John?
Well, if it's okay with you, since we skipped the Visitor Center report and the Visitor Center funding report, I'll just use that time as well.
Yeah. Sound good?
It's all about the fun.
Before we actually get into the report, I wanted to talk about Jane's point that she brought up in the email yesterday, I think it was, about closed rooms. When I was putting this together, and maybe my assumptions were wrong, but I thought that help me if my names are wrong here, but the Morro or the Rock View, which is in construction, and the Travelodge, the new Travelodge, which has been in remodeling, I thought those both basically shut down after the first of the year started. So the room count for those two properties should be accurate in the December report.
Actually, no. That in December, Rockview did not have all their rooms available. The Inn at Morro Bay did not have all their rooms available. And Anchor Travelodge had all their rooms available. But, our overall occupancy rate would be much higher, which would make a whole lot of sense to over 100,000 more in revenue if we had, the correct rooms. If we have lower rooms... we have a higher occupancy.
Yeah,
So this is a reporting issue, and I jumped in and sent an email to Susan Slayton. So Susan and I had contact over this, and she's just so willing to work with us. It's awesome. So she's talked about revising the TOT report so that it puts... that there's kind of a line there that says, what was the actual number of rooms that was available over 30 days in your hotel? Because right now it basically says number of rooms. So hoteliers can take that as number of rooms in your property as, say, 58, or, gosh, I had 20 of those 58 out, so I had 38. They can report 38 to 58 in that swing if they were remodeling 20 rooms. Even if they have the entire hotel shut down, they can report back zero revenue, 18 rooms available. So those 18 rooms go into the account, into the count. So what we're she's clarifying it with a letter to the hoteliers with the TOT report, TOT Yeah. What would be the TOT reports for this year? And you probably saw it.
Yeah.
So that we're reporting on actual rooms that could generate revenue over the month.
I have a question here. It's hard to get data from the hotels. So even, I think they did a good job sending that letter out, and I appreciate that, but I'm not sure everybody actually filling all the rooms are down through the month, because you always can have construction, one or two rooms, even if you don't have remodeling. I think what we should look at here mostly to RevPAR, which means the room that you have available in total in the city versus the revenue, because that's what should go up. So
that's why I didn't send you a copy last night, but of the quarterly report, but the RevPAR number is in there. But anyway, the discussion here is basically these numbers are going to be skewed a bit because the room count is not, the available room count is not correct, so the occupancy as reported and the old TOT report from the city is incorrect, but that's all being taken care of. So let's go with this report for now, recognizing that I think it's a good indication of where we're going, but it's going to be off a tiny bit. If you look at, it's kind of interesting, you look at the month of December, and as Joan mentioned, occupancy going up from 33 to 38%, it looks pretty darn good. Highest of all the locations referenced here for the month of December. That's the good news. The bad news, if you look at the full year, occupancy for Morro Bay is still at least 10 percentage points below our next nearest competitor. We had 4.5% gain for the year, which is about par for the course. Everybody was in the 4.5 to 5% range as it relates to occupancy. We only beat out Monterey Salinas for changes in ADR, and kind of at the low end of, we're at the low end of the pack as far as RevPAR for year to date. I'll be looking for any suggestions anybody has as regarding format for this report, and where I was kind of working at format on this one was really on the second page, where last quarterly report. We talked about looking at our performance by season. So I wound this the second page up, the second half of the second page is Morro Bay by season. And we've got occupancy, ADR, and RevPAR for three consecutive years. And then below that, we've got the same seasons and changes in those seasons. And I think what's kind of interesting to focus on here is, you know, we're looking at 2009, 10, and 11. 2009, 10, and 11, season by season, and again, the winter season is 3 months, spring season is 2 months, 2 months of summer, and then 4 months is the fall season. But if you look at starting back and the change from 9 to 10, you start seeing all kinds of negative numbers where we were going downhill in terms of RevPAR or in terms of ADR or in terms of occupancy. And then actually in occupancy, it starts turning in the summer of 2010, where it actually broke even towards the year before. The ADR and RevPAR continued negative numbers. RevPAR turned the following quarter, and then ADR turned the quarter following that. So you can see where we, through 2009, started dropping off, bottomed out in 2010, started coming back in 2011, to the point where in spring of 2011, we had an almost 11% increase in occupancy. I mean, I can't explain the 10.7% gain there, but it was huge last spring. So somebody did something right in some advertising or something. That looks, pretty darn impressive. But I think this is kind of an interesting to look at how we're doing on a quarter-by-quarter basis or a season-by-season basis. Both in the percentage changes and in the total numbers. I think it's rather informative, and as we build a couple of more years onto this, we'll be able to pick out a lot more trend analysis in our numbers. I guess, it just in summary, we're kind of staying with the pack. We're not gaining on the pack, I don't think. We've turned the corner like everybody else. I can't, you know, you can't tell, or is it because, you know, the T-bids work out there and advertising and marketing and public relations and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, the Barnett Cox and predecessors efforts and everybody else around the city, or are we just riding the tide of an improving economy and we're just getting our share of the improved economy? There's a second report coming on later, which we'll be talking about, regarding the motels in town. And I'd like to tie this into that when we get there, because I think there's some interesting crossover information available there. But any questions or thoughts on the report? Is there stuff we would like to add to this or change in this? I'm really at the stage of trying to make sure the information's accurate per Jane's comment, number one, and number two, looking at format and content, if we can.
I have a comment. I think it's hard to always measure year to year, especially if you don't have a good data. But I'm sure trend over 3-4 years for as a benchmarking is what we should look at, so we can compare something. Probably over 2 or 3 years, the numbers are much accurate than just one year or 1 month, because the number would be much more accurate than looking 1 year to year. Okay.
Any other questions for John? No? Thank you, John, for all your efforts as a volunteer to put this report together for us. Super report. Really appreciate it. I'd like to see us start forecasting. That's a city. Forecast, you know. I mean, we do it in our hotels, right? If we could forecast, if we could pull together to forecast based on those, our trends, that would be great for us as an advertising board, so as a marketing board. So we can talk to John about forecasting a little bit, and once he gets that historical data pulled together, one job at a time. Okay, so sorry, get back to my agenda here. Now we are on. I believe we're on to, yep, BCA Advertising Agency Report, Sherry.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Sherry.
Hello. All right. We are looking at the marketing that has transpired mainly in January. Some of it's ongoing, some of it's coming up quickly, so just wanted to run you through it. If this is going to work, maybe not. There we go. Did I turn it off? There we go. Nope.
Okay,
great. Starting off with a Yahoo online campaign. This is the CPC campaign. They took about a 3-week break from the 15th of January. We've been running these campaigns for about 6 weeks and then taking a couple-week break and then going back on. It tends to let people take a rest and get reengaged. So they are running this 3-screen campaign on Yahoo, and they're doing it in mainly in Sacramento and Modesto. They also get some bonus time in San Luis Obispo, so it works well for their purposes. Go to the next one. The T-Bid has a Yahoo online campaign starting on February 13th, and then we go basically from February all the way through May with this Yahoo. We have it right now regionally launching in San Jose and Los Angeles. We're going to change those geographic demos as the campaign goes on. This is showing the last screen of a 3-screen banner ad that we're doing. These are our sunset.com banner ads. We've been running these since mid-November. This is the reporting for January 1st through the 31st, and it's doing very well. They flip-flop the leaderboard, the long horizontal ad, and that large ad to
to get impressions. Every month you're going to see them going back and forth with higher and lower click-throughs. This is our TripAdvisor.com banner ad campaign, and this has been actually going on since October, doing very well. It's gone up in click-through rates. The impressions are running, you know, anywhere from 70 to 90,000 a month. We are starting to we have videos embedded in our sponsorship page, and they're starting to make some traction. So I was very interested in the new videos, the Kite Festival videos that you talked about. So we're constantly infusing new videos, submitting events to TripAdvisor, and it tends to elevate the search that's going on that particular page. And then we also have the TripAdvisor sponsorship page. It did very well in January, better than in December, and we could only get quarterly reporting before. We're now getting monthly reporting. And this is your sponsorship page that we're submitting events to every month, recycling the videos, getting some of the videos that we did in Savor, some of the ones from last summer up there. And it's going strong. It's a good, very good campaign. And that goes all the way through October of this year, the banner ad and the sponsorship page. So good. The SanJoseMercuryNews.com. CPC did some of this through December 31st now. And you've done, TBID has done some. Now TBID is on it alone. CPC will come back in February this month. We get Google alerts, obviously, on anything that Morro Bay comes up in, and this blog has become quite interesting. So we've had a few hits on it this month. And as Joan mentioned, and she was privy to getting the first copies of that, I was like, where's mine? But this is the Slow County Destination Guide. The ad is beautiful, beautifully placed across from the table of contents. They have about a 40,000 distribution over the year. They go out to, they place in a lot of the California Welcome Centers as well. They're in some airports. They also take, these are their distribution pieces at all their trade shows. And the VCB, as you know, is pretty prolific as far as getting out to industry and trade shows. So we're going to get some good exposure there, and you will see that piece circulating. And this is the LA Times ad mail that we did for the February hotel specials and deals. We kind of did this play on, if come enjoy Valentine's month in Morro Bay, especially if your gal is looking for a big rock on Valentine's Day. And it was sort of tongue-in-cheek. One of our account coordinators put it together, and we thought it was, we have had so many great comments on this from, on LATimes.com. We also distributed it to the Morro Bay database via Constant Contact, and that was where those are your customers that have been here before, they've been on the website. So they thought it was really fun, and I think it worked well. And this is the print ad. You can't see it very well, but this is the LA Times print ad. You can't see the copy. This is what we were talking about previously, that the golf course is mentioned in there. It's Ocean View Golf, I think, is where it is, somewhere in that bullet list of features of Morro Bay. This was in a Central Coast destination page feature in LA Times. So it was a print ad. It was a quarter-page print ad. They also did a directory piece that ran alongside that. We had about a paragraph of information on Morro Bay, and it ran. It's still running online. It runs online for about 3 weeks. So I think it was a good, solid marketing piece. And then we are working on, as I mentioned, the PR we're working very hard on it these first few months. We feel like this first quarter is paramount to getting the word out and getting people here to talk about Morro Bay. So we have done an outreach to radio stations in Sacramento, Fresno, Bakersfield, San Francisco, San Jose, Los Angeles, and getting some response to that. We've got sort of a four-tiered program where we're sending them just gadgets, things from Morro Bay, sent them I'm trying to think. We started out with sunglasses, sunscreen, and then, you know, 10 days later sent them a Morro Bay little packet. And we've had a couple of good responses, and we're just trying to get Morro Bay talked up. We also have pitched the Morro Bay story to travel talk shows. There's not a lot of them left, but we're talking to, Maggie has been talking to John Hamilton at KGO and having a good response. He's someone that will come to a place and, you know, spend a couple of days and then talk it up and have it, you know, possibly have an interview with someone here in the city or with a representative there. So that is going well. And we talked about this earlier, the Kite Festival press release. I just got the final draft yesterday. It's going out today. We've elevated our database, so we're getting into some really good, you know, being able to distribute to places like the Rachel Ray Show, Travel and Leisure, the Condé Nast Traveler, and doing it very specific. And then talking, when Sean was talking today, I think going into that, we can go back and go into the database and add that kite, you know, the national kite flying, that's perfect. So we're in good shape to get that out to them this week and hopefully get some response. And then I'll also look into the advertising to see if there's time to get something in on that. Okay, the website, we talked briefly about that before too. Just to let you know where we are, we sent out the prototype of the website about 2 days ago, I think, 3 days ago. And basically the prototype was just 4 pages of the website that have been designed and approved, but now they actually move. You can actually press buttons and get to, you know, places that you want to be. It's not all done because not all of the pages are in place, but we had good response, great comments to the functionality of the website. And we are, you know, moving forward. Those comments have all gone now back to our web administrators, so they're working on content and new mapping and just some of the finer points, even greater response. This is total page views, just basically how far people are digging into the website, if they're spending some time on the pages, and it's also looking very good from year to year. Slightly up. I think last month we were at about 69% new visitors. We're up to 72, which is great, great news. And of course, the new visitors makes the returning visitors look a little bit less, but it's all looking good. These are our smartphone visitors that continue to increase. Smart device visitors drastically increasing. And then these are the top 10 referring URLs. Got a great response from visitcalifornia.com. We've been pretty active on that site as far as submitting events and photos, so we were glad to see that rise to the top. Also a lot from the city, which I was kind of intrigued by. Not sure, the Morro Bay, California, U.S. site, lots of things coming over from there. Facebook, you know, we've been working pretty hard on trying to get Facebook up to where people are responding to it, and it seems to be coming up the list here. TripAdvisor is on there, and that centralcoasttourism.com, I want to check into it. I know we talked about it at the last meeting. Some centralcoast.com, I think, is what it is, but I'll check in to see what that one is all about. Okay, and these are the top 10 referring cities. Not a lot of change here. You know, those first five are pretty dramatic, and then it drops down a little bit. So we're going to obviously be working on bringing San Jose up with our Yahoo campaign and some of the other online. The Mercury News again will help that number. This is the lodging report that's kind of going through the roof. So lots of people interested in where to stay in Morro Bay and. And these are just click-throughs from your lodging page. And then we also the next slide is going into Jackrabbit. We had a few little things that we had to deal with Jackrabbit this month, but they seem to fix them and get them going, and everything's working out fine with Jackrabbit on the new website, so continues to be a good source. And And this is TOT. We talked about it. We are looking at very good numbers for December of 2011, so we just hope that that trend keeps going upwards, that we keep a good, healthy level between 2010 and 2000, or actually it'll be 2011, 2012, but that's exciting stuff. And I think, oh yeah, Google Analytics is, these are for new email addresses. This is simply, you know, organic through the website, people signing up for the Ultimate Getaway and things like that. And Facebook likes, 36 new Facebook likes. And we continue to get some good posting. We're sending out a post today about where people like to stay, you know, in just ahead of the big weekend or the President's Day weekend, where do you like to stay in Morro Bay? So we're hoping to get some exposure for some of the hotels and get some good response there. And just ongoing Facebook posts. We also have started really diligently working on the Twitter Twitter page, and it's very healthy even on its own. We haven't been doing a lot of posting. We've been doing maybe once or, you know, twice a month at most. But people are pretty active posting pictures, and I think there's a few more, really just really good comments and fun stuff, taking pictures and showing them off. So we're going to get a lot more involved in the Twitter and YouTube pages as time goes by. I think that is, yeah, there's tons of it. There's just, yeah. So people are having fun with it and looking at Morro Bay.
Oh, I've got a question.
Okay.
So the new website's going to launch in March? Okay. So everything on the old website, we don't care, right? Except for the calendar, right?
What do you mean? You mean in March it'll be dead, the old website?
Well, for example, I was on the website and we have, like, Blessing the Fleet, Read More. And when I click on that, nothing happens. Romancing the Stone, Read More, nothing happens.
I just checked that yesterday. Romancing the Stone was going to the specials and deals page.
Well, when I click it.
It didn't.
Hold on, look.
I'm a witness.
Yeah, none of that's happening.
Is it coming up in another tab at all?
No, nothing.
Well, we'll check into that. But
yeah, and then who gives us the information about the only in Morro Bay? It'd be really nice when we are part of an advertising campaign about the Central Coast to include calendar of events that are outside Morro Bay. You go into Cayucas, and Cayucas has everything from SLO, Cayucas, Cambria, Morro Bay, and it's the calendar there. Even though it looks a little archaic, you know what's going on. And for our people that are coming here, they want to know what is to do, not just in Morro Bay, but I can stay in Morro Bay and get to all these places.
Right.
So I think we need to focus on this calendar, and I think we've been saying that for months.
Let me jump in there. We advocated that a long time ago when the TBID first came together, that we be able to expand on the calendar, and there was some focus on allowing, there were some decisions that were made in a website committee. Michelle and I were on the website subcommittee at that time from the TBID, but there were some decisions that were made at that website subcommittee meeting that events would not be included that were outside of the scope of Morro Bay. And that's why we can revisit that, because there's two boards that decide what is included on these pages. It's not one board that decides, it's two boards that decide, and so we would definitely have to revisit that at a website subcommittee and bring you back that information.
Well, but in September they're showing Save the Central Coast.
That's because we sponsored that event.
Mm. I agree, Jane, though. I know when Pismo has a clam festival, we get people that stay with us. So I think it would be important to try to have, you know, maybe you have the Morro Bay calendar of events, and then there's some other way. So I think that's something from the website subcommittee that we should address, and
yeah,
we'll definitely do that.
a way to link to the county calendar of events and make it static so you're not going away from, you know, maybe it opens up in a pop-up window or something like that, the county VCB calendar of events. But if you go to the VCB calendar of events and you look at it, it's like 150 deep each month. And it goes for, you know, everything from the 4th of July fireworks down to dinner specials. So I think, you know, we have to decide what we're talking about, just major events or whatever. So, yeah.
I think it'd be pretty easy in our calendar of events just to list Morro Bay events or have those as a feature events and then other events in the within the month in outlying areas or something like that, and just have it all in one place so people don't have to go to another site. We don't want them leaving the MorroBay.org website. So I think that's something we definitely need to address in the website subcommittees.
Yeah, because
I agree with that. I think the other thing is accuracy of the data. I mean, somebody has to update. I'm not sure who's responsible to maintain these data. Even you bring in from county side, you got to make sure the data is good, because what's the use of putting this information out and load up with everybody and be wrong date? You know, so that's my comment.
And, you know, guests are looking for things to do. They get picked up by the wine wrangler and taken all through the wine country and come back to Morro Bay at night. Then the next day they go up to Hearst Castle. And, you know, we just put together a five-day itinerary for the ultimate getaway. Oh, my gosh, this person's going to need a vacation from their vacation. They're just going to be so wiped out. So, and we're using Morro Bay as the hub to do all these wonderful things. Anyways. So, yep, we will address that again in a website subcommittee meeting, Jane, okay?
I had a question. One of the ads that CPC had done at the very beginning, it had shop and play, just noticed no stay. And you said it was going where? Modesto and Sacramento? Okay.
Very interested in that Sacramento market, and so Yahoo was one of the, you know, ways to really penetrate there. That's about...
I was just curious. If you're coming from Sacramento, I would think you'd need to stay the night, but I was just curious and wanted to point that out.
Yeah, the other banner ads that they've done, some of the banner ads you can do four screens, some you can only do three. But I'll check that out, because it started out as a shop, play, stay, discover Morro Bay. So it could be different in a couple of...
Just disappointing to not see.
Oh.
I want to be sure that with our new website, with our redesigned website, that we will be able to glean more information on what's referring people to our website. In other words, our banner ads, we just went through where all of our banner ads are. Are they coming from TripAdvisor, from the LATimes.com, from Facebook, if we do any Facebook banner ads, where they're coming from, what's directing them to MorroBay.org?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's...
Just a question I have on the funding level. That's a difficult one to
gauge.
Yeah, get hands around it if there's no way to be able to measure.
Meaning
if we're trying to decide how much, it's like a top level versus knowing really what we need to spend to get there.
Well, you know, it's really tough because some hoteliers are under the guys that if we had an event here every weekend, we'd be sold out every weekend. That would be good for the town. However, the town can only take so much impact of events week after week. And we're not necessarily, although I feel like we are a day-to-day working board, we're not a day-to-day working events board. Otherwise, we'd need about 60 more of us to put on events. So having said that, I think what we're trying to get to is the idea of what percentage of the budget just to get from them. Now, would it help if we put up there of events annually and then put, like, in parentheses that the budget is X amount of dollars, is forecasted to be $485,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
so that's what you're looking for? Okay.
Right. But
yes.
They need to know what the reference point is. But out of that, the current budget is X, and out of this amount goes to print, this amount goes to this amount goes to that. Otherwise, it's just numbers. I have another question. Is this going out? Wait a minute, let me get the neck. Is this going out prior to the luncheon?
Yeah, this is actually, good. I would like to see this go out with the save the date on Friday.
Good.
So this would go out with the save the date.
Mm-hmm. Because I would like, this would be a great thing to put up, because if you don't get response, and we show the numbers, and somebody out there says, well, where did you come up with this? It's a great start-off point of discussion on communication,
right,
and feedback.
Yeah, we got a good response last year. Well, we got like a third of the hotels, didn't we?
We had, it was like 14 or 15 responses, I think.
Yeah, 14 or 15 out of 33 responses, but usually on a survey you only get about a 10 to 12%
yeah.
response,
yeah.
So we did pretty good. And then, you know, several of those hoteliers that responded actually represented more than one property when they responded, so that's the other thing. So the list is actually smaller than the amount of hotels that we have, meaning get represented, yeah. So back to it, it will go out. We did do a PowerPoint from it last year. I don't know if you remember that, and I'm sure we'll probably do a PowerPoint from it this year to show what their survey results were, because we use that kind of as a guideline to make the budget this year.
I have another suggestion.
Yep.
When you have your contact, I think all this information that you listed should be in the packet, thing
right.
one,
oh, okay.
on the bottom. But the other thing is, when you have a contact information for board, I think that you just randomly, well, like I do small hotels. Let me be the contact for them. Let everybody have X amount of people they're assigned to, because then the stakeholders aren't just randomly calling people. So that if you have two people, we have 33, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, or if you just want it for hotels, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hoteliers, divide the 33 into that and assign them.
So almost like a rep per se. So
that's
you
right.
Would, If you have a problem, you would call X person.
Like getting information, I can call my hotels. And I have a list of maybe, what, 5, 6 people to call rather than everybody's running around. Let's tighten it up. Tighten up the ship.
Okay, so what we can do is make a decision. We can do that. I like that idea too. Alphabetically or whatever. We can randomize the list.
Just do it. Just assign it.
Okay,
I don't care who I get. Nobody else. Just do it.
Okay. And then, do you want that list included with the stakeholders?
Yeah. Get it
invitation?
Done. Yeah. This is our one opportunity to get everybody in one room. Just do it.
Well, and this is nice because I know Joan and I are always sitting here calling 33 hotels. Yeah.
And in last year, it was myself and Michelle and my staff and Michelle's staff driving around dropping the flyers off and then driving around and saying, are you coming? Because, you know, we've got to have an RSVP because otherwise we're paying for 60 lunches and two people show up.
May I make a suggestion that when you send this out, you're going to be doing a cover letter. And in that cover letter, you already have assigned who these people are. Just make sure we get it. And if they have any questions, have them call us regarding the material so that we're not.
I have one more question. I think good idea on the 6th. I think your suggestion is good. The other question I have is actually a good survey, but the number 2, I kind of have a difficulty. I think we should break this for the local versus, you know, you have Canada in there, Arizona in there. So it's just. I think we get a lot of, either if you want to do international, you know, we have Canada, we have Europe, that we get a lot of customer right now, a lot of Germans and French that come through. If that's what we want to do, we could break it down a little bit local versus international.
So you're saying California, 12 Western, change this maybe to California, 12 Western United States, Canada, Europe.
That's right.
As four bases, okay? Instead of
the only, and I get
ahead,
that,
everyone.
But the only thing with that is we don't have the money to be doing international. I mean, I just don't think we can. I don't think money-wise
you know
in our
what?
Budget.
We don't need to do international if you're on the sites of Priceline or Travelocity.
Right.
They're the ones that are doing it. So forget the international. Let's just do where our dollars can get us.
So do we want to keep this and then scratch Canada?
What about scratch Canada, and what about maybe saying rank them in order or something instead of just picking one? Or is that the one before it?
Select in order the top three areas you believe Morro Bay, T-Bidge should be.
Maybe we just do the counties then.
That are you going
and drop off Arizona? Do you think we should drop off?
No.
Leave Arizona?
Maybe it's the wording of the question, because what we're trying to say here is that is a market that you would like to see us get into, that you would like to see us merge into, or that you would like to see us develop more. I use the word concentrate, but you'd like to see more focus in. So maybe it's the wording.
I think you could look at it more like a county, or even versus state, where that would be narrowed down somehow. Yeah, we're still talking about number two. I think, we could do. We have limited resources, as we know. So it's important that if we list the one we do, really can service it, because we're asking them which one to pick, and if they pick the ones that we cannot even.
Right.
Yeah, do anything about it, then waste of
So why don't we divide it up into three areas within our state? North Bay Area, if this helps. East Central Valley.
Right.
East-Central Valley. And South Southern California region.
And then maybe you put on there the Western states.
You know what? Maybe you can just combine question one and two.
If you look at question one, it says three areas.
It's a little redundant. The thing is that why don't you just say select the one market or the top three markets you would like to see more marketing concentration, or however you want to word it. And then if you get rid of the above and you do Southern California, you do,
North Bay Area.
2 to 3 hour drive areas. They're going to know what that is. Okay? And then you do, the western states.
Okay, so are we going north, east, south, western, western states?
Uh-huh. And that's it.
Okay. Got it. Combine one and two. Do that. And then on three, we're good? Okay. Four. Five. Six, we're adding a figure. Seven. Seven, we're fine, I'm getting.
Seven, how about something, the T-Bid is planning this. Are you supportive of? I mean, I think we should do it. Let's not give them the opportunity to opt out of it so much. And sorry, if I send Jen an email and say Helen and I are planning to go to Yosemite, in a couple of hours when I'm back on email, I've got all this stuff around my emails talking about Gateway to Yosemite and where to stay and where to eat in Yosemite and all that kind of stuff. So Google is obviously picking out keywords. Do we do any of that?
Yeah, Yahoo is a behavioral targeting campaign where they're looking at people who have Yahoo email accounts, and then they're putting them on their Yahoo search. So if somebody is,
But we're not going to use it. I think we still have a responsibility to provide them that information.
That's fine, but I'd like to know if they're going to use it.
Okay, so I will put Morro Bay T-Bid is planning a portal where you can access information about the MBT bid and the City of Morro Bay's marketing information, such as logos, blah, 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 your hotel's web analysis statistics for morrobay.org, Jeff for marketing tools, blah, blah, blah. Will you use this?
Please choose one of the three by geographic area.
Throw international in there.
Yeah. Will you use this international marketing tool? Okay, great. Okay, so now, possible information for packets. Okay, so we're good on questions?
Yes.
Please, I'm glad I didn't add a eighth one. We'll be here till midnight. Possible information for packets. Individual click-through information for morrobay.org. So what I'd like to see this year is that there be individual packets for each hotelier. So the Andersons come in, Bud and Rita Anderson comes in, and they check in, and we hand them a they check in to get their packet. Part of their check-in is gleaning information off of them, contact information, email address, just like we did last time. Once they sign in, they get their packet, and it shows how many click-throughs they've had to their site for their JackRabbit click-throughs and their web click-throughs, just for them, their printed report for the entire year, so they see that each month this is what they've had for click-throughs, because I don't think anybody knows that that information is available, and I think they'd like to see it. So that's what I was talking about, individual click-throughs. I discussed that with Michelle, and she thought it was a good idea, too, that they see that, you know, we use that information, they should know that it's available to them. So individual click-throughs from jackrabbitmorrobay.org, the TBID budget.
I think that every single one of these 11 items should be in a packet, period. And I also think you need to do a cover letter. I think that that's where the RSVP, that they need to get this stuff ahead of time, that the survey questions are there, and that if you want us who have been assigned six hotels or whatever to hand deliver these, which might be a great idea to six hotels, that we do it and make that contact, and therefore they have ample time to review the material. And then we can follow up and say, please RSVP and get us your survey now and bring the packet information when you come to our luncheon. It's going to save us a whole lot of time. It's going to allow them the time, and we need to respect that for them to absorb this information.
Yeah, they definitely need time to absorb the information. Maybe first what we do is shoot the email out on the save the date, like we talked about, and then we prepare the packets, because we're not going to have these packets prepared in time by Friday. So they're going to have to be prepared in, like, within the next two to 3 weeks, and then hand-delivered to get the RSVPs. You know, I can say in the cover letter, a TBID representative will be contacting you soon, and then when you walk in with the packet or call ahead to make your appointment to drop it off to them, then you have it, because there's no way we can pull this stuff together by Friday. I'm not working 24 hours a day to do that.
But
sorry.
We have until March 22nd.
We have
so
until
if
March
we can
22nd.
Get all of the packets into their hands by the last week of February.
Yeah, we actually,
that's going to give them, you know, a good 2 weeks or 2 to 3 weeks.
We actually need the RSVP by March 16th. Because we have a BEO outstanding.
Right, but if they get their packet at the last week of February, they're going to have 2 weeks then to decide if they're RSVPing, and they're going to get to look over that information, because I do like that idea of them getting it before the meeting.
Right.
So they can dissolve it all.
Right. Okay, so that's our plan. We're sticking to it. Anything else to add into the packet? The difference between list of events we sponsor and 10 is the budget. There's nothing, except I did this at like midnight, so. No. Budget. So, you know, one thing I didn't is the TOT report. Do we want to include John's TOT report in here?
I would just go with the basic city TOT
report. The basic
TOT
city
TOT report.
TOT report, so that'll be our number 11. Pardon?
And I would just suggest that as we get our list,
okay,
when we go to them to do it, we should verify their contact information.
Yep. Got to have it verified.
So we make sure that that is correct.
Yeah, and then maybe
since
we
they have their
have
own private
same.
Packet anyways, it should have, this is how we have to contact you, correct if there's anything to be changed.
Maybe we can verify that this morning.
Well, we could verify it if we all have just our six people.
Yep. Okay, good. So we've got that.
Do we need a motion to...
2012, I'll open that up to board discussion.
Just
She's saying microphone back there.
Well,
nobody's talking.
I'm hoping that Joan will stand for chair again. She's been very successful. We've had a great, consistent kind of flow with TBID in our first couple of years, with her being our excellent chair and point person, and she takes on a huge amount, which is, of course, why we're now leading into a director of tourism kind of a position. But until we find out how that's going to shake out, I'm hoping that she will stand for chair again.
I agree. Is that all we need?
No, you need to have you need to open for nominations and then make nominations.
I love what Joan's been doing, and I'd also like to say that everybody here is capable of being a chair, and I'd like to see different faces from time to time. I know that in other cities they have city governments where they have rotating mayors, which it's a nice thing to see. It's nice for involvement. Because we're right back on board and doing these things, I think it's important for Joan to be the chair for an additional year, but I would like this board to consider rotation.
And I agree with Jay. I think for this next year, with so much going on with the DOT and where we're at, I think it's good to have another year of just some consistency. She's already in the loop. She knows what's going on. So I will make a motion to move this forward that we nominate Joan as chair.
Second.
Okay, so we're jumping in for comments here. I would love to see a board where we have a rotating chair, and I think that that would be a really great way for us to go. I agree. It gives, you know, freshness and great input. I think that, you know, there's a lot of conversation right now about combining the two boards and whatnot. And this board, we talked about at the special meeting, Jane, that the makeup of our board was probably going to change dramatically when that happened. And when that does, one of the things that we can put into the bylaws is a rotating chair. I think it would be great. You know, those are my thoughts on that. The CBID does that. They have a rotating chair. The chair stands for a year, and then the vice chair comes in, and they put a new vice chair in, and then they rotate through, and I think that that's a wonderful way to do it. So there you go. Those are my thoughts. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be a full year before that change takes place, where boards are connected and looped together and that kind of thing. So to see this thing through to the end, I am willing to sit as your chair. And I
with
appreciate
that,
your confidence in me,
with
by the way.
That said, I would also like to ask you to delegate more responsibilities to the people here so that you're not always having your time taken on the forefront and doing all this stuff.
I'd be happy to email you today. Yeah. So do we put, Andrea, this is a question for you, do we put a nomination for vice chair in there too? How do we, or are those separate issues?
No, well, I make a motion that we approve Joan as chair and Michelle as vice chair.
So you currently have a motion on the table and you have a second for only the chair. So let's do that first.
Yeah.
We can certainly do that, but we're already ahead of the game. So let's do that first and then we'll go back for the vice chair.
Well, we can't modify. Can we ask to modify
it's
that?
It's up to Member Hawkes. It just makes sense to move. It's up to you. We've already...
I don't think I can nominate myself, so I can't amend that then.
Okay.
So let's go through with what
all
we've
right.
got on the table.
So we have a motion on the table. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. A second motion would be made then by Member Beaman.
Mm-hmm. I make a motion that Michelle Hawkins be nominated and approved for co-chair. Oh, not co-chair. Excuse me, vice chair.
I second. Can I second? I second. Discussion? Michelle, how do you feel?
I would accept it for another year. I think I want that consistency. I think we need to try to get this ball moving forward, and I feel like we're at a tipping point. So hopefully it'll move forward. So I would accept that nomination.
Could I suggest that we have a series of debates between now and June before we decide?
Only if Andrea is going to be at every one of those debates and leading it.
I'll be there.
Andrea, we want a primary. Okay, sorry. Okay, so there's a motion on the table. See, we have more fun than any other board. Okay. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None? Okay.
Congratulations.
Yeah, great. Michelle, I'll be emailing you and Jane today.
And the thinking was, what other stuff needs to be thought about? Now, you've heard me say a couple of times, we need a business plan, and the business plan has got several components to it, and one of the components of the business plan is, what is your product? Mm-hmm. And this kind of deals with a portion of the product issue. And as a tourist town, we've got recreation and shopping and restaurants and places to stay, and this is a piece of the places to stay part of it. And the idea behind this was probably for early December, last December, I was just talking to some people about TripAdvisor and the ratings on TripAdvisor, and it just sounded interesting, so we started digging through them on the internet and looking at them, and it just seemed like there was data here, that information that was there that just needed to be put together and be able to be used. So Homer Alexander and I work together a lot, and so the normal way we approach a project is one of us gets an idea and we have lunch together and discuss it with the other person and kind of decide, does this make sense or not, do a reasonableness test. If it does, then we'll take the next step and we'll do a little bit of research on it, get together again, and if it still seems positive at that point, we might jump into it all the way. And that's basically what we did on this TripAdvisor thing. And what we were looking at was, can you look at the ratings that are available on TripAdvisor about various lodging properties and draw some conclusions from those ratings about the quality of the lodging properties? So we started doing that, and this is the background research we did. These are all the numbers for the county of San Luis Obispo, and there's a lot of stuff here. We looked at, as it says here, we looked at 156 properties in the entire county that represents 8,157 rooms, and there was over 17,000 comments that we looked at. Now, we did not read 17,000 comments. What we were looking at was, on TripAdvisor, you get a 5 through 1, 5 being outstanding and 1 being obviously something much less than outstanding. And what we thought was, you could look at a property and look at how many of the different ratings that a particular property got and come up with some numerical score for that property, and then do that for a series of properties and compare the numerical scores and put properties in order. And if you look at TripAdvisor, that's exactly what they do. I'm not exactly sure what their formula is because we couldn't quite match it. But if you look at TripAdvisor for Morro Bay, there's 28 properties listed. I know that I know one property is listed because it doesn't have enough rooms, and there's probably some properties not listed because they maybe didn't get ratings. I don't know. And then of those 28 ratings, our ratings don't exactly fall in the same order as TripAdvisor, but we're close. But what we did was we said, if you got a rating that was a 5, we took the number of ratings times the 5, and then if you got some that were 4s, we took the number of ratings times 4 and times 3, 2, and 1. We added all those up, and then did that for all the properties in a particular city, and divided the total by the number of properties in the entire city. And we came up with numbers, which is basically an average score for each property. And then we said, okay, how do we make some sense out of this? How do we make it look reasonable, or something that we can actually use? So we went back to basically junior high school, and we decided to use a bell curve. And so what we did was, we took the properties and we said, okay, the top 15 properties get A's. Well, the top 10% of the properties get A's, and the bottom 10% of the properties get F's. And then roughly a quarter get B's and a quarter get D's, and the balance get a C. And so we've got a nice bell curve type of situation. I mean, you could say, let's say 15% get A's or 8% get A's, whatever you want. We pick that. If you want to change it, we can change that. And across the top of this thing here, you can see there, you know, the grade point range that we came up with. The top 15 properties, there was 156 properties, so 10% of them was roughly 15 properties. If you ranked all the 156 hotels in the county that were in the survey, the top 10 ranged in scores from 4.52 to 4.92. And then the next 36 properties of the next 26% had scores that ranged between 4.14 and 4.15. So that the lowest property score, well, that doesn't matter. But anyway, that's how we came up with sliding each property into an A, B, C, D, E, or F rating. Properties as viewed by the users of those properties. There was things you could see coming out here that a property with a higher price tag on its room generally had more TripAdvisor ratings. I'm not sure why. My guess is that maybe somebody who's paying more for a room might be somebody who's going to show up with a mobile device, a smart device, that's going to rate the property faster, because I don't think it's something you go home and do 2 weeks later after your vacation. You probably do it relatively quickly. That may be one thought. I'm not sure, but generally speaking, higher price places got more TripAdvisor ratings. You could start seeing, you know, trends of those kinds of things. So then we said, okay, if a property has less than 10 ratings, we'll just exclude that as not a good sample in the overall project. And most of them have a lot of ratings. And I'll at the end of this, we'll discuss whether we should just hand out this whole thing or not, because it's got every motel in the county on here. It's all public information. It's just organized information. But you can see that, you know, if you looked at Morro Bay ratings on our 28 properties, there was 2,429 ratings on those properties. So there's a lot of ratings, and I think the lowest in Morro Bay had 11 ratings, and the highest was 179 ratings, or 302 ratings, I'm sorry. That's in at Morro Bay, you would expect that. It's got the most rooms, the most guests. Anyway, so on the ABCD rating system, we took one list, put all the properties on it, and gave everybody's ABCs, D's, E's, and F's, and then we went back and broke those down by city. So what you've got in front of you is the 10 cities we've got here around here and a comparison. So if you look at Morro Bay, we've got 3 A's, 2 B's, 11 C's, 10 D's, and 2 F's. You know, we've got actually a pretty reasonable bell curve, except we're loaded to the D properties. If you look at what's a good one? Yeah, we all compare ourselves to Pismo. It's a little bit the reverse. They've got the A's and the F's, but they're loaded more towards the B's than the D's. And that's, you know, maybe that's more where you want to be, because you want some properties at the top end. You probably want to have a lot of properties in the middle range, and hopefully you don't have any, very few D's, and hopefully no F's. You could also probably extrapolate things. I mean, you look at Paso Robles, no A's, 8 B's, 3 C's, and 2 F's. And if you look at the 8 A's and divide the A's into the number of rooms, you see that, B's, mm-hmm. you see they're all large properties. Mm-hmm. They're all close to 100-room properties. And another trend you see is the newer properties that have been built generally have 50, 60, 80, 100, 120 rooms to them. So they're bigger, newer properties. And that's taken, you know, Paso Robles with no A's, and you know, there's properties in Paso Robles that I just assume were going to be A's, at least one. It's a B. Mm-hmm. And then you look at that, and that just doesn't make sense. And probably an explanation for that might be that the guests that particular property has are maybe very discriminating guests, and their expectations are extremely high. Mm-hmm. And if you don't hit extremely high, you get a B because you're rated very difficult. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but that's kind of the way we were thinking our way through this. Yeah, we're just looking for A properties in Cayucas.
John, did you define the rating for A? I'm a little confused. A is what, 5? B is 4? 3, 2, 1?
The 5 is the top rating from TripAdvisor.
Right.
We average the rating
for a particular property. Okay. So the other thing is, did you guys analyze when you were doing all this how long the hotel has been in existence?
Yeah. The time frame that this covers.
This only covers about a 6-week period.
Okay. So what you did is you broke out. How did you do that on TripAdvisor where you broke out?
It's what's available on TripAdvisor.
TripAdvisor is only
everything that was there.
But their rating is not based on a 6-month. Their rating is how long the property has been around.
The ratings on the property only last on the website for X amount of time. Yeah. They don't last. I'm not sure what that's true.
The button rating, though, I scooched over. Sorry, Michelle. The button rating, the little buttons, 1 through 5 buttons on there, or dots, that's ranked. So if the Inn at Morro Bay has been rated on TripAdvisor over the last 3 years.
You determine it's a 4, a 3, a 2, a 1. We averaged all the ratings that were available on TripAdvisor at the time. For Inn at Morro Bay, there was 302 that we averaged.
So I think what you're saying is you averaged individual review ratings.
Yes.
To come up with your figures. You didn't average their overall rating.
No.
Used individual review ratings. There we go,
yeah,
bingo.
Okay, sorry. That's why we've got over 17,000 reviews as part of the sample. Anyway, as it relates to Morro Bay, and if you compare it to other places, I think there's a general feeling that we're probably don't have the highest quality lodging available in Morro Bay, and this would seem to say that we tend 85% of our lodging is in the C and D category. And 91% of our lodging is C, D, and F.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Before we go further, what's the purpose of what we're trying to do? I mean, we definitely know that Morro Bay lodgings are not the latest, the greatest in the county. I mean, definitely Paso Robo has more newer properties versus Morro Bay, or Pismo has probably better properties, but also the clientele that goes in Paso, not as different, financially and different purpose than people come in Morro Bay. So it can not be all in the same bucket. Some are, should be compared to our per se Morro Bay. Then I would make sense if you look at just the hotel in the Morro Bay. But if you're going to compare it between different cities, it's hard to say because we're definitely not going to rate A.
If you talked of the 156 properties, if you took the top 3 rated properties of the 156, where do you think they would be? What cities do you think they would be in?
The 156 in Morro Bay?
The top.
There's 156 properties.
In the county, in this study.
The top 3 properties in the county.
It's Pismo, probably, maybe. Avila.
They're all in Morro Bay.
All three.
Top 3 rated county properties. So, yes. Alex, to get you caught up, there's a concern in the Morro Bay community that the reason that Morro Bay lingers at 50% occupancy or somewhere between 45 and 52% occupancy annually is because we don't have quality lodging here and that we lack in quality lodging. However, having said that, I think this study refutes that. We have the top 3 properties in the entire county in our city, and in addition to that, we have lodgers or companies like the Inn at Morro Bay putting millions of dollars into their properties, the Rock View. Everyone, I mean, if you can do it, now is the time to put money into your property, and hoteliers are doing that.
Well, I have a comment. I mean, I think people do not come to the city because we have a great lodging or we don't have a great lodging. People come to the city because we offer something different than other cities. Lodging is, I mentioned that, is a chicken and egg issue. You know, the lodging is only one aspect of reason people come in here. Nobody goes to just stay in the hotel, in the destination.
Well, I think.
But at the same time, I think if we promote the city well, then the property owners have the money or willing to spend to improve their properties. Because the clientele is what forces us to do what we want. And if you want to get your rates and you want to get more money per room, and the client requests or want to do that, then you force yourself to invest, you know, the property or allow people to sell the property, somebody else take over who has the money to fix it. So I think it's just to look at, I mean, it's great data. I'm, you know, appreciate you've done that. That's a lot of work, by the way, and thank you for that. But I think to have even the top three here or not to have the top three does not make it this city as far as the tourist destination number one. So what we should be looking as a team here, or that's my opinion, of course, is to look at it, what can we do to in the Morro Bay to get ahead of Pismo, get a, you know, whatever is our comparison cities.
They go on TripAdvisor and say that, and other people look at TripAdvisor and go to Paso Robles. So it's not, you got to have the customer before you've got the product. You got to have the product before the customer shows up.
Well, I think that's what I'm saying is a chicken egg situation. You cannot just say we have to have the best hotels so we get customers. And we cannot say the other way around that we have to have all events in town and then, you know, the hotel will improve. But at the same time, I think as a team we're here, we cannot dictate what the hotel has to be doing. You know, that's their business to decide what to do. What we need to do is to do our best with the money, of course, that our budget is to promote the city the best we can. If, of course, what you're saying correct, then they don't have a good hotel rooms, then people are not going to come back.
Or now or what this analysis says is that we have a bulk of rooms in a C category, and then we look at the areas that we're advertising in, and we draw attention in those areas because there's analysis out there that says what the average person in a certain area spends on a room, which it goes back to why the average daily rate is really important for us to see. Because in Fresno, if they only want to spend $39 or $49 available for travel, we know what that area is. If our average daily rate, we decide, comes out to be $50 to $60, and we see that that's what the San Jose area is, then that's where our dollars should go, because that will feed our general. You'll always have higher and lower end. But we need to work your analysis into where we're spending dollars. And that's why the average daily rate is very important, and also what the entire area's travel dollars, which we there is that information online.
I'd say that's probably partially true. And I think it would be totally true if the only solution you had was marketing dollars. But there's other solutions out there besides just marketing dollars. And I would put those three properties, it's the Anderson Inn, the Estero Inn, and Her Place Beach Bungalow, ranked 1, 2, 3 in that order, as probably examples, and maybe the Beach Bungalow is a good one, where a risk was taken, money in an old property that was brought up to speed, it's remodeled entirely, and it has been turned into a nice personal service property. ADR, RevPAR went up in that property. I think, I don't know, but I suspect occupancy is probably above average for the city. But, I don't know. I'm guessing on that. and is probably turning into a sound investment. And so there is a business model, or one of three business models that is that we can look at in the town as a different way to address the problem, you know, not just throwing marketing dollars at the solution, at the situation.
I agree, but I also agree with what Alex says. We aren't the hotel police. We could bring this information to the group in March and tell them. I think the average daily rate information is crucial for that meeting. I think that we could bring this up and tell them, look, we want to get you more money, but what, and maybe they can share their plans for what they're doing in their properties. A lot of the properties here are restricted, like the Sundowner, our place, you know, the Roadway Inn. Room sizes, they are what they are. You can't do much. But, yes, we can upgrade beds, carpeting, painting, surrounding areas. And we can say, look, we're bringing in these people. You know, there are people that call me to stay in my hotel, and my hotel is not appropriate for them. They need something more luxurious. They need something with, you know, lots of room. And the most important thing that I can do for this town is to send them to a Morro Bay hotel that will service their needs. And so all this information is very important, but well, we can't be the hotel police.
I guess what I'm kind of suggesting is that there's more than one leg to this stool, and this group has been addressing a major one. I've had some conversations with some people from other cities. One of them you know fairly well. they have, at least this one city has a program where they're rebating a substantial portion of their TOT to the property owner when the property owner remodels their property. So
that's
what I'm
forward
saying
thinking.
Let me
go buy a hotel.
What the city is saying is they're getting we're getting TOT based on a 50% occupancy and a $60 room night or $60 ADR, $2,000 of TOT annually at 10%. I realize it's different, but talking Morro Bay numbers, $750,000, and it generates $225,000 to the T bid in Pismo Beach, just the Cliffs.
Okay, so this is a great thing about having people who are not hoteliers on our board is look at the approach. He's approaching tourism with a four-pronged stool, or whatever he's calling it, with four legs coming in, because he's not a hotelier. He recognizes that, you know, there's all these other prongs out there. And, you know, this is actually the amount of work that you did. Thank you very much.
The box in the upper right-hand corner, just as an example, the where it says Morro Bay adjusted, that assumed that the Rock View was remodeled, and it goes up one rating, and it assumes the Inn at Morro Bay is remodeled, and it goes up one rating. Of course, that's a biggie because it's 99 rooms, but that would be the new rating for Morro Bay. So we would move up to from 6 to 18% would be B rooms, and from 40 down to 36%, I mean our D rooms would decline just by those investments.
I also have a comment on this. It's just not remodeling is the issue. It's your service level. A lot
Absolutely.
Of comments we have. You could have a lousy old property, and you have a great service. You get great report on TripAdvisor. So it's combination of properties as well as service. So you cannot just build a brand new and expect that there's a lot of good brand new hotel. They have lousy service, and we hear it all the time. You know.
And I think that's a real value of actually reading some of those TripAdvisor reviews, because it's like, we had a wonderful time. Mary was. When we checked in, she was so nice to us and showed us to our room and told us where to have, you know. And you're right. The service piece of it is, I think that's what kind of motivates these people to start writing on TripAdvisor. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think overall with as many, you know, C's as we have and our rating overall in Morro Bay, we're okay. We're
okay, we're right there, we're okay. You know, and I look at the service thing. Services, and I don't think anybody from the outside totally understands for hoteliers, service is a deal where from the second that person walks through the door and checks in, you are on. It is 24 hours a day, and anything, the crying baby, the dog barking in the parking lot, the harbor seal. I mean, I've had complaints about harbor seals at my hotel. You know, why did they bark all night? You know, everything becomes your service issue. So it's different than a restaurant or a retailer. Retailer, you have anywhere between 30 seconds and probably 30 minutes, and restaurants anywhere between 30 seconds and 3 hours. So, it, you know, it's 24 hours for us.
Well, I'll also make a comment on the service. It's also your repeat business. Yeah. If you are doing a good job, then you're going to get repeat business. And yes, the comment is important, and you hopefully you act on it, you know. But if what is important for at least Morro Bay, my opinion, is to get the repeated people come into the town. And these events that we are working on, it's really important because that's what brings the repeat business. And if we can, as a hotelier, take care of the customer, then we're in good shape.
Could I just do one more thing? Across the bottom, there's a quality index comparison. I just wanted to explain that.
Okay.
Everything thus far has been the Inn at Morro Bay and the Anderson Inn are equally rated, although it's 99 rooms versus 8 rooms. So what we tried to do is come up with a weighted, what we did was we come up with a weighted average rating. So we took the rating of the hotel, the property, times its number of rooms, added everything up, and then divided by the total number of rooms of the city. And so these are all the towns in the area, and their rating per property and their rating per room. And the room rating, you know, is substantially different. And just what I wanted to point out, at the very right-hand side, it says Morro Bay minus and Morro Bay plus. With that Morro Bay minus is if you took those three top-rated properties out, the room rating goes from 3.45 to 3.28, mm-hmm. and the overall from 3.59 to 3.08. So it's a substantial change. If you took Morro Bay as it is and you added the quality inn that's in Paso Robles, you know, not a way top inn kind of thing, but the quality inn, it's a B-rated property. It's just a cut-and-paste exercise here. It raises the rating, the property rating from 3.59 to 3.75, and the room index from 3.45 to 3.56. Just one property.
Trying to come up with just, you know, city promotion of paying to fix the rooms, those kind of things, I think it's not going to, we're not in a position to do that. I mean,
I would like to see maybe, John, if you could forward the whole report, the entire report, maybe electronically to the board so they can look over the whole report. And then if they have questions back to you. Is that okay, Andrea, that they might address questions back to John? And then if we need to have a second discussion on this, we can add it as an unfinished business to next month's agenda.
Yeah, as long as you just reflect questions back to John.
Right. Directly to John so that we don't break the Brown Act. Once you receive the whole report and you look it over, questions back to John. There's a thicker report of all the hotel lodgers so that you can look through, Jane, and but questions directly back to him, everyone, so that we don't break the Brown Act. That's
well, okay? I just would like to I'd like to thank John.
Oh, absolutely.
Amazing. And also Homer. And the other thing is you made it, you said something that kind of slid by, but when you brought up what Pismo's doing for their city and looking at TBID as a future for their properties, that is very important because Pismo has advanced dramatically in their customer base, in their average daily rate, et cetera, et cetera. But their city is also acting very cohesively. They're not having intergroup problems. And it's a solid body, just like the report that I sent you from the Coachella Valley. They're starting to work as a solid body. It's paying off big time. So it's something to really look at that I think the council should really look at also.
It's pointing the arrow.
My understanding with this whole thing is that we really cannot solve all the problems that the city of Morro Bay has. What we can do is, based on the constraint we have, fix what we can do. So going back to what Pismo does, I think that's a totally different situation. I think Morro Bay doesn't have a per se team. We don't know what we want to just right now promote. What destination we want to be. I mean, Pismo decided to be, that's what they want to be, and we haven't done anything like that. And then everybody, of course, worked towards that. That means almost you have to have a business plan that tells you...
Instead of a marketing plan.
The
marketing plan is a result
and
of your
And then everybody
plan.
Works towards it. If you don't have that, then it's hard to say, well, we want to be Pismo, we want to be San Obispo, or we want to be somebody else. So I think this is what we should do at front to come up with really a solid plan, 5 years plan or 3 years plan. And definitely this group is not the one who will probably make that decision.
Yeah, and to be clear, because I agree 100%. And to be clear, I'm not saying we should be Pismo, and I'm not saying we should be Carmel or anything like that. But I think your point of saying, if we had a plan and we all agreed to it, and then we could work towards that end, whatever that plan is, it's important we have it and we agree to it.
So, on that note, John, if you would be so kind as to forward the entire report to us electronically, board agreed to respond solely to John. John, if there's topics that come up, we can get that on the agenda as we move forward. Thank you very much to John and Homer from the entire board, I think. Yep. Good job. Excellent work. And so let's look at declaration of future agenda items. I have the Morro Bay Golf Course, Josh Heptig, the unfinished business with the budget, the VCB and SAVER funding. And for March, we'll move out the financial review of the $50,000 visitor center funding. Did I miss anything? Okay. So with that, we will look for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you very much. Good board meeting. Excuse me, Wayne?